All right, we're in Acts chapter 9, and we stopped at verse number 17 last time. Those that are listening by other means or questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018, give us a call or email. I'd like to hear from you.
Oh, Pastor?
Yes.
Can
yes.
I turn my phone off? I think.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
go ahead.
People call me up.
Okay, turn it off. That's fine.
I hate these things.
That's fine. That's good.
They interrupt.
That's right.
You know?
All right, but we stopped.
Like in the phone booth.
Right.
Pocket.
We were in verse 17 last time we stopped. Let's read verse 17, 18, and 19 together. Acts 9, 17, 18, and 19 together. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and put his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and rose, and he was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened, and went forth with all certain days with the disciples, which are at Damascus. 5 verse 17, what is this chapter first part about? Let's have a review a little bit.
The conversion of the Apostle Paul. Damascus Road.
On the Damascus Road. What was he going to do on that Damascus Road? Where was he going?
Damascus,
and for what purpose?
Persecute Christians.
Send them back to Jerusalem, harass them, bring them back, put in prison in Jerusalem. And what happened to him when he was on his way?
He met the Lord.
He was struck down.
Struck down. That's right. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord say to him?
Why
persecutest thou me? And what was Paul's question?
Who art thou?
Who art thou, Lord? And what did the Lord say?
I'm Jesus, not persecutest.
So, finally, what happened then after that to Saul?
He was scared.
Apparently, he accepted the Lord. What will have me to do? And he was willing to do what the Lord told him. What happened to himself?
He was blinded.
He became a believer.
He saved, born again Christian. That's right. And after he became a believer, then...
He stood speechless, hearing the voice of seeing.
He was blinded. What do you suppose the Lord blinded him at that time?
Put the fear into him.
Probably put the fear
so
in him.
He'd understand. You
all right.
Cause him to trust him.
Huh?
Well, no man has seen God at any time if Paul saw the Lord and the brightness of him.
Yeah, probably the Shekinah brightness blinded him.
He was, you know, he showed himself from heaven.
Now, was Paul used his eyes in other ways before this?
He studied.
What did he study?
The law.
He studied the law of Moses. Who was his teacher?
Gamaliel.
He was a very good... What was his profession? What was his denomination?
He was a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, wasn't he? He was a Jew. And so he used his eyes. Now he can't use his eyes anymore. He's got to just trust the Lord and be helped by somebody else. So then finally, the Lord told him to go to a man's name. What was the man's name? He was supposed
Ananias.
To go to Ananias. Go to the house. And where was Ananias? What house was he at?
Ananias went to the house of Judas.
House of Judas. And so Ananias was told to go because Saul was there and he wanted to help him. Was Ananias receptive to the Lord's request?
He was frightened.
And what else was he?
He did it, but he had to be persuaded.
Why was he frightened?
Because he heard of what Saul was doing and how he was persecuting Christians.
And did the Lord know all about this?
Yeah.
So remember last Thursday we said that he was not really saying, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do no matter what. Was Abraham like that same way, asking, why did you send me out of my house to a land that I don't know of? He didn't question the Lord. He just went.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact...
He didn't have to meet Paul.
But even Ananias, or rather...
That's what much learning does.
Much learning, that's right. So the man that the servant of was it Israel?
Of Israel?
Who the servant of Israel, what was his name?
Who?
The servant of Israel.
Of Israel?
Abraham.
Abraham.
Eliezer. Now, when he went to find a bride for Isaac, remember, that's why he went to back to his home and paid there.
I be in the way the Lord led me.
So he didn't question. He didn't say, I can't do this. How am I going to do it?
Well, Abraham says, how come that Eliezer, he thought he wanted Eliezer to be the one that the Lord would pick. And they thought Ishmael would be the one the Lord would pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it took them a while to come around to the fact that it was going to be Isaac.
So then we see in verse 17, when Ananias did go to the house of Judas, and there was Saul, what happened at that time? In verse 17, I mentioned that last Thursday. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. What is it?
He put his hands on him.
Put his hands on him, and then what happened?
Called his brother Saul.
Brother Saul. Saul received thy sight.
He's prepared of thee, Zacchaeus, thou mayest receive thy sight. Notice, he sent me that thou mayest receive sight. He was used, Ananias, to touch him, hold him, and receive his sight by that ministry, and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What did we say that meant? Filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean?
Control.
Control. Absolutely in control of the Spirit of God. Now, where does the Holy Spirit dwell presently?
In believers.
And those that are genuinely saved, we are his temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in us, which we have if we're genuinely saved. Now, does he indwell those that are lost people? No, he does not indwell lost people at all. Only those that are saved. And then in verse 18, when he touched him, in verse 18, that's where we start for tonight. What happened when Ananias touched Saul? Verse 18.
It fell from his eyes.
Did it take a number of months?
No.
What does that word immediately mean?
Right away.
It fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. What does forthwith mean?
Straight away.
Right away.
And then what did he do then?
He got up,
he rose.
He was baptized.
Now, who are the candidates in the scripture for baptism?
Those that have received Jesus.
Those that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Should babies be baptized according to Scripture? No baptism. Has to be saved. Should the people that are lost be saved? Now, what does baptism do? Does it save us?
It's a symbol.
Does baptism save us?
No.
Doesn't deliver us? Do some churches teach that baptism saves?
Yes.
Church of Christ, different ones. Just go down. And you're saved.
Catholic Church must have maybe
baptismal regeneration.
Baptismal regeneration. Now the Roman Catholic Church, when they sprinkle the babies, that relieves the original sin.
Now they're saying that's born again through baptism.
No, they're bumping at the end a little bit. Born again. Historically, it's just Adam's sin, but now they're born again through baptism. So, but we don't believe that. But in obedience to the Lord Jesus, and what did the Great Commission say in Matthew?
28. Baptizing
in the name of the Father. Right, go into all the world, preach the gospel, there baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've taught you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So that was a command, and that's the Trinity right there, the one name singular, because of unity, of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And so this is part of, and baptism means what?
To immerse.
It means to dip under. So we believe as scriptures that we baptize everywhere. So he was obedient. Now, where did Saul get the idea that he was supposed to be baptized after he was saved? Where do you think he got that idea?
From the Lord.
Probably the Lord. And maybe Ananias told him, I don't know. But he was immediately baptized. And then in verse 19, what does it mean?
Maybe from Judas,
the house of Judas.
He's
a believer. And in the book of Acts, three or four, five, six times, over and over, whenever we have baptismal services, we always quote those verses. He believed, was baptized. He believed, was baptized. It's constant. It's regenerated people being baptized by immersion after they're saved in obedience to the Lord. And similar to what the Lord has done for them in their salvation. What happened in verse 18 after he was, verse 2 and verse 19? What did he do that after his baptism?
He ate.
Receive me. He ate. And what else?
Strengthened.
Now, yes, Anna.
Well, wasn't there a question in one of these classes recently about whether or not Paul was baptized? Can we have our answer here? Was that, somebody getting mixed up with someone?
One of the questions was asked, was Paul back there?
I think maybe Jack asked that.
Did Jack ask that?
On Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
It was, yeah.
We show this. We have this.
That's good. That's good.
What was the question? Whether Paul was baptized?
Paul was baptized, yes. Okay. Yes, he was. As soon as he was saved, he was born again, then he was baptized in obedience to the Lord. Received meat. Then, now, why do you think he mentions here he received meat? What does that imply?
He was hungry.
He was hungry and probably,
he's fasting for
probably, had,
days.
Probably hadn't had much to eat. He was blind and he was just taking in
what happened to him. The whole thing, the whole Damascus Road experience, he was trying to process it.
Mm-hmm. So, and then he was strengthened. What's that?
My Bible, I had my Bible open it and it fell onto the lever and then it moved the camera while the camera was selected.
Oh, so. Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad the camera knew what it was doing. So he was strengthened. Now, does all food strengthen us?
No.
But apparently this food strengthens
us. I guess if he hadn't eaten for 3 days, probably anything would.
Anything
would
strengthen. So he was...
You're better bites. Than nothing. Huh? Yeah, even the light bites.
So strengthen is important. And then what did Saul do there in Damascus in verse 19?
He was strengthened.
He strengthened. And then what?
He spent some certain number of days with the disciples.
Okay. What are disciples? What does it mean you're the disciples?
The learners.
The learners.
Believers.
The believers, saved Christian people at Damascus. And then that was what we stopped there, that verse 17, 18, 19. All right, let's read verse 20, 21, 22 together.
And straightway
we preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. All right, verse 20. What does straightway again mean?
Immediately.
What did he do when he was at Damascus?
He preached.
Preached Christ. What does that mean, to preach Christ?
He shared the gospel.
All right. Told about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did at the cross of Calvary, that he died for the sins of the world and their sins. And then it says that he preached Christ what?
Yes.
In the synagogue. That's where. What were the synagogues? What happened there?
The Jews
met. Does that mean he was a Jew again?
No.
No, he left that. He was a Christian. Why did he go to the synagogue?
That's where the people were.
That's where the people were. The Jews were. And
weren't the Christians
there? They tell people about the Messiah.
About the Messiah. That's right. What does synagogue mean in the Greek? Syn.
Together.
With. Ago. To lead. So leading together. See, that's a leading together. A place where they gather. A gathering place. And the Jews were there. Probably Gentiles as well. Yeah, huh?
The synagogue was at the temple.
Oh, no.
The synagogue was a place where they all met and they talked mm-hmm. when they wanted to.
How many males had to be before they could start a synagogue?
10, I think.
10 Jews. Had to have be 10 Jews in the place so they could have a synagogue. And so that's where the synagogue, that's where the synagogue. And he preached Christ. And what did they say about him in verse 20, the last part of verse 20?
They preached that he was the Son of God.
What does it mean that Christ was the Son of God?
His deity
is there. Was he just a man?
No.
Do some people believe he was just a man?
Yes.
He's part of the Trinity.
Part of the Trinity. So he's the Son of God. He was God the Son, as well as God the Son of Man, perfect God, perfect man. How did he become the Son of Man? How did he become perfect man?
He was born of a virgin.
Of a virgin, incarnation. That was necessary. Otherwise, he couldn't be deity as well as perfect humanity. And so he preached that he was the Son of God. Did the Jews believe he was the Son of God?
No,
they didn't.
No.
A lot of people today, and even the churches, the preachers, do they believe he was the Son of God?
No.
Some pastors do not. They just say he was just a human being. But he preached that he was the Son of God. Now, how did he figure that? Before, as he was approaching Damascus, ready to imprison Christians, did he then believe he was the Son of God?
He met him on Damascus Road.
But before he got met him, that as he was going to Damascus, did he believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God?
No.
Not on his way.
Yeah, not on his way, see. But what convinced him?
When he was struck down.
Struck down.
And he was blinded.
Blinded.
The light. He actually heard him talk.
He heard him talk, and he met the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And
personally.
In 3 days, it changed everything.
That's exactly right. Now, the thing about it is, if he were not the Son of God, perfect God, perfect man, how could he be up in heaven? How could he be talking? See, how could he be alive? They crucified him. He was dead and buried. But he had to be resurrected, there he was. And there he was convinced, the Son of God. And you got something?
Yeah, I got something. Let me
see. Okay, go ahead.
Hello. Dear Pastor Waite, hello and good evening to everyone at Bible Play. Thank you for tonight's Bible study and also for keeping our son Joe in prayer. From Joe Norma Fossio in California.
Good, let's wave to Joe Norma. Way over California. Thank you, Joe Norma. Appreciate that.
Sorry. I'd like an update on his son, how old he is now.
Yeah, how old is Joe? You might ask him. We'll ask you. Joe, how old is your son?
I think he's maybe 20 or something.
What year in college is he in?
What year in college?
21.
Yeah, Dave, you had some
sophomore, junior, maybe.
It's amazing how this soon. He knew so much good theology, good doctrine.
Exactly.
I mean, right away, he knew it.
He knew it. That's right, it's amazing. God revealed that to him, didn't he? And he was a sound preacher and doctrinal man all the way through. Yeah, Bob?
Everything he had preached against Jesus, mm-hmm. when he got saved, he knew that was the truth. And he knew what the truth was.
He believed, didn't he? Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful thing for the heart.
He had to preach the truth because he was the opposite of what he'd been condemning.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He wrote a good portion of the Bible, too.
Yes, he did.
Paul did most of it.
13, 14 books out of the 27. That's quite a few, isn't it?
New Testament.
Good percent in the New Testament. That's right. So, and then in verse number 21, what was the reaction of those that heard this man Saul preaching?
Amazed.
What does it mean? Amazed.
Surprised.
Shocked. Bewildered. All those words. Why do you suppose they were so amazed?
Because of the way he was before.
The way he was before.
He was a head persecutor.
What was his reputation before?
Persecutor, murderer.
He was very, very cruel. And so they were amazed. It's amazing. Just like now, is God still able to save sinners that are lost and undone and bad? Yes, he's able to save them. And it's amazing. Transforming them as he did the Apostle Paul or Saul. So, amazed. And what was their question when they were amazed in verse 21? What did they question?
That he had all... had brought people and he wanted to kill them and everything. And here he was preaching the gospel.
Yes.
Is this Saul?
Is this the one that destroyed them as calling his name? Destroyed. That indicates death, doesn't it? As well as imprisonment. So,
they had a question in their mind if it was really he.
Yeah, they wondered, is this the same one? See, they weren't sure. Because how could it be, see? Mm-hmm. Such a revolutionary change in his life.
They'd never seen a picture of him.
No, that's right.
Like we
but they knew him by name, I suppose.
By name.
Because he would have had a big reputation.
And then came hither for that intent. What does intent mean?
Purpose.
That purpose. Came hither. What's hither mean?
There.
Here.
Well, thither is there. Here. Hither is here. Okay.
I'm wondering if, as far as, you know, before, they're heavy, even in our early history, or late, whatever you want to say, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, before the advent of, there were still pictures and so forth, but when, for example, Abraham Lincoln went someplace, I mean, people didn't know, they probably knew he was the president, or they knew he was running for president, but they didn't really know who he was, they just by the name. So I think by the name Paul, by the name Saul, They would know. Oh, wait a minute! There's a Saul that's this persecutor, and you know they would know somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we know somehow who people are, mm-hmm. but even without pictures, just the name. We can think of people's names that we've been exposed to, mm-hmm. in the course of our lives. That whether with or without picture, with or without a picture, those names and those personalities, those people mean something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. Now for a little Elizabethan language instruction. Hence, thence. Hither, thither. Now what do those two words mean? Let's start with hence and thence. What are those?
Hence is off there.
What took a place right after?
Okay, hence and thence. Now, hence is from here. Thence is from there. Thence, hence, and thence. What about hither and thither?
To and fro?
That's right. To, hither is to here, and thither is to there.
To there.
We have the hither, the from and the to. So that's interesting.
That's where, when Lot was going to Zoar, I got to find that here. The Lord said to him, hither. He used the word hither.
Yes, should I go hither? To here? To there? To here? See?
He said, come hither.
Come hither. Come to here.
Which indicated that I have to find this here. This way back earlier.
Now, there's another phrase we use now. Hither, thither, and yon. What does that mean? Hither, thither, and yon. Remember?
Yon is over there.
Some people say that. Where is that person? Well, I don't know. They're hither, thither, and yon. We don't know where.
Anywhere.
Two there, two here, from there. Dan, you find that?
It's in chapter 19 someplace. Or, here, verse... maybe this is 19:22, or getting back to verse 21. And he said, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city which thou hast spoken. Escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou become thither. Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar.
It's thither, from here, from there, see, from there. Hither would be to here, but thither is from there. Escape from there, see, thither.
Read it again, so I can
hither is to there, and thither is from there.
From there.
Okay, maybe it's later on in the chapter, but I'm thinking of haste.
Well, that's you've got a good
escape
word.
Escape thither, for I cannot do anything until thou
escape
be
from
come.
Escape from
become
here.
Thither.
Become thither.
Until you come from here, yes, sir.
Therefore, the name of the city is called Zoar.
Okay. All right. It's a little bit dense, but yeah, Anna.
That's good.
I have something sort of off topic.
Okay.
But it got me thinking about it. It was in Genesis 7, verse 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen to be righteous before me in this generation. It says, come into the ark, not mm-hmm. go into the ark.
That's right.
Which meant that the Lord was going to be there with them.
That's right. Very good. He's right there with us. Come. He's right there. Come to me.
Here's it again, verse 20.
Go ahead, Dan.
Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is that little one, and my soul shall live.
Thither. Okay. From there. All right.
He wanted to go there.
Yes.
Let's say to, or toward the place. Footnote.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a comment about how they would have recognized him, perhaps, uh-huh. because they knew he was an excellent teacher, mm-hmm. and so he would have been standing there teaching in this same manner, perhaps. Mm-hmm. That he, you know, I mean, they maybe had never heard him before, but they had heard perhaps a word about him, mm-hmm. a reputation about him, and so they knew he wasn't just an ordinary teacher, and so mm-hmm. could also be the way he taught.
The way he taught. They could have recognized the way he taught, absolutely. So they're amazed, he come thither, and hither to that intent, he might bring them bound and straight to the priest. So, and then in verse 22, what happened to Saul as he was in Damascus for a while? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Glad to hear from you. Have something, Dan?
Joseph's age.
Oh, good. Joseph,
the pastor, wait.
Oh,
our son.
She's going away.
Well, maybe we will hold the question until she comes back. She asked the question.
Well, we can repeat it for her.
Okay, dear Pastor White, our son Joseph is 19 years old.
Good.
He's in his second year in college. He attends Cal Poly St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. PCPO, California.
Well, good. 19, so
PCPO, California.
All right, what happened in verse 22? Yeah, Anna.
We have to wave again.
Well, let's wave again to California. To,
hi.
To Joe Norman Foster. All right. So what happened in verse 22 as he was there in Damascus?
There was growth. Saul increased more in strength, and that's what a person has to do.
That's right.
To when they're discipled,
right,
is you have to teach
yes
the word
and increase. What does Philippians 4:13 say?
I can do all things
through Christ who strengtheneth me. So if Paul was strengthened, Saul was strengthened, the things of the Lord, physically I'm sure, but also the things of the Lord. And what did he do there but to the Jews in verse 22?
He taught them, he proved.
Confused them.
That Jesus was the Christ.
All right, what has confounded me?
Because they couldn't believe what they were hearing. Because he was a guy that was totally, a persecutor and turned around and did a 180. Somebody you know that was one way and just turned out to be totally opposite.
Young Joel's 19, man. Young Joe Foster, 19.
Okay.
Yes, they were confounded. In other words, confounded in the sense of confusion, maybe. What else?
It'd be like if President Obama became a very conservative Republican.
That would be really,
really confusing.
I would myself.
What is that? What did you say about confounding
Jews? He was able to argue.
Able to argue the book of word, the word of God, mm-hmm. and confound the Jews, which are Jews. What did he prove to the Jews? What did he try to prove?
Jesus was very Christ.
What does Christ mean?
Anointed one.
What's the Hebrew for it? Messiah. Messiah is anointed. Christos is anointed. So they're very Christ. What does this signify if he proved to the Jews that the Lord Jesus is their Messiah, their Christ? What does that mean? For the Jew.
They crucified him.
They crucified the Lord of glory. But also, he's the coming one that was promised in the Old Testament. He's the one that God sent to be their Savior. And so that was amazing for the Jew. All right, we're going to stop right here. Unless you want to go three more verses. What do you think? We'll go three more. How about that? Verse 23, 4, and 5. Let's read those. And after that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But they're laying wait with the Lord Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in the basket. Verse 23, after many days were fulfilled. How long do you think he was there at Damascus? Many days. What would be a guess?
Maybe 60 days.
Maybe 60 days, 30 days, 60 days. No, many days. What was he doing during that time? Sleeping?
Teaching.
Gone to Bible school.
The Lord was teaching him, and he was teaching others. He was proving.
Now, when did he go to the backside of the desert?
That was after this. Yeah, after this.
Okay.
But, we got something here. Let's see what we got. Yeah, Rob from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
We made acquaintance about 8 years ago.
Rob Winograd from Chicago. Rob
Winograd
from Chicago. He met you a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it was interesting too that when Philip preached to the Gentile who wasn't familiar with the Old Testament, he preached unto him Jesus in chapter 8.
Yes.
And here in the synagogues in Damascus, these Jews who were familiar with the Old Testament, he preached Christ.
That's right. Very good. Okay, Rob, let's wave it right to Rob and say hello to him. Rob from Chicago, thank you very much for the call. He met you about years ago, see, Rob Winograd. Hey, you don't remember, but...
I think I do remember.
Yeah, he was short, not too tall, and he came to visit. All right, so many days were filled. We don't know, 20 days, 30 days. What happened after he was there many days? In verse 23.
The Jews wanted to kill him, so he...
Why did they
looked at him as a traitor.
Maybe.
Because he was... convincing the people that Jesus Christ was the Messiah.
Did the Jews want other people, other Jews, to be converted?
No.
No, they didn't. See, here was Saul. He was converted, but didn't want others. So the council took counsel. What's that mean?
They had a little
committee meeting.
Among themselves, they planned and plotted how to kill that man.
Yeah. Secretly.
But they're in verse number 24. They're laying await.
Did they know about this? He went home or something by the gate.
Did they know about this?
Who's the they?
Did people that were friends of Saul?
Yes.
Yes.
They are laying await. Was known. And so
they protected him.
They protected. Now, who's the they refer to, you think, in verse 24? They watched the gates to kill him.
The Jews.
The Jews. Why did they watch the gates, you think?
They wanted to kill him.
Capture him.
And what do we know about Damascus? Probably like other cities. What might?
The wall.
The wall all around. Now, they wouldn't expect him to go to the wall for the wall, but they expect him to go through the gate, right? Mm-hmm. Waiting for him to go, waiting to kill him. Eva?
Might have been time for him to go back home, and so they knew sort of what it means, so they were standing there waiting for him.
Yes, watching. What were they going to do when they went through that
kill
gate?
Kill him.
Going to kill him. And so they waited and watched.
That's what Paul did to the Christians.
Yes, that's right.
Same thing.
Did they watch only during the daytime?
Nighttime, day and night.
Day and night. Well, they must have had a contingent, they must have had a rotation. They must have had some sleep and somebody else take over and so on. You put some on watch in the day, some on watch at night to kill them. That was their purpose. What horrible murder. That's what the ISIS people are doing now, isn't it? Islamic terrorists killing hundreds and thousands every single day over there. It's a terrible thing. Murder, murder, murder. Then in verse 28 and 25, what did these disciples then do?
They took him by night.
By night? Why do you think it was by night?
So no one would see him.
No one would see him.
People can't.
And what did they do then?
They put him in a basket.
The wall.
By the wall. In other words, were the Jews guarding the wall day and night? No.
Just the gates.
Just the gates. Yes. Anna.
If they had let him down in a basket by day, it might have attracted more attention.
That's true.
This is a basket going down over
the
wall.
That's exactly right.
But at nighttime, it would have been harder to see the basket going down the wall.
That's exactly right. And I've always said many times, some people refer to Paul as a basket case. You know what that means, right?
It must have been a basket.
Yeah,
I know. He's in a basket. He was not a basket case. He was full, strengthened for the Lord, saved, born again, a Christian preaching Christ to the Jews. All right, well, he escaped out of their hands, didn't he? Escaped out of their hands. Any other comments? We'll stop here, pick it up, Lord willing, next Thursday.
Who's seen a basket that big?
That's a big basket, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Big basket. But people use baskets even today for dogs and cats as they go on a ship or something, a boat. And some cattle or horses, they put them on that and just hoist them up. And a little different. Mm-hmm. Other comments or questions before we close tonight? Mm-hmm. All right, if not, let's close with the word of prayer.
How many disciples were there that did that?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't say how many were there in Damascus, but... There was more than
12.
Two or more, see, disciples.
Might be just followers.
Well, that's true. These were followers. I don't think they're one of the 12 disciples or 10 or 11 or whatever. What's Anna?
They were in Jerusalem, the 11.
Yeah, they were in Jerusalem. This was in Damascus, see. So it wouldn't be the disciples that the Lord chose, these apostles.
Right.
But disciples means followers, or see,
they're Christians,
learners. The 12 they called apostles, special apostles.
Right.
So these disciples were just
followers.
And learners and Christian people. Yes.
It's amazing how soon he came under severe persecution.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And that can happen to Christians today.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're arguing with atheists.
That's right. Atheists and Muslim lands, and even here our lands today. Christian persecution.
I got mad at my wife and they got mad at the other.
For instance, we just heard today on the news,
one
of the colleges, forget the name of it, was going to have a call to prayer, Muslim call to prayer.
Duke
University, see, which is subsidized by the United States government, different things, other things. And Franklin Graham, we don't necessarily go 100% with everything, but he was objected to it. He got really up in arms, and so they stopped it. Can you imagine a Muslim call to prayer at a university that's subsidized by the government? Mm. So they stopped it. But people today do not like Bible-believing Christians.
Well, who's calling for the prayer?
The Duke University people, apparently, were calling for a prayer.
Some of the students?
Some of the students, I guess, and the faculty. They're trying to be welcome to all the Muslims. But you see, are Muslims just another religion?
No.
What does it say in the Quran what they're to do?
Kill Jews, kill Christians,
kill all infidels that are not Muslims. That's right.
Yes,
especially those that are not solid Islamic people, Muslims. Kill those too. They kill their own Muslims, don't they? They're not really strong for them.
It must have been the administration that was calling for.
Oh, yes.
Otherwise, if it was just the students, I mean, that would have been just freedom of speech.
Right.
They would have been permitted to do that.
Yeah.
But it's different if it was the administration that was calling for.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
When they restrict, Christians from praying,
mm-hmm.
if they're, a valedictorian or something, they were not permitted to use the Lord's name. And
mm-hmm.
So, as
you say, Dave, the Christians today are persecuted and really stomped upon if they're Bible-believing, saved Christians, but preaching the gospel. We used to be able to preach on the street corner and evangelize. Now, in some cities, you can't. They arrest you for preaching Christ. We used to, when we were great, just young Christians, young 17, 18-year-olds, my wife and I would go down in Berea, Ohio, to the Triangle. We had a Triangle there, and every was a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We would preach.
Pastor Nick,
our pastor would take us, we'd sing, we'd preach the gospel with an amplifying system. No problem. They didn't arrest us. But today, so persecution. And Paul, as you said,
Dave, we had a permit.
Well, we had a permit, I'm sure, but can he get permits anymore, I'm sure.
I don't know. We haven't tried.
But in many places.
We should go on Saturday down when they have the thing in Collinswood and we can. Get a microphone.
Yeah, many places have restricted the preaching on the streets anymore in these days. All right, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the Apostle Paul. We thank thee for thy miracle, thy grace in saving this reprobate, this terrible murderer, those that would jail believers. Thou didst say, Saul, why do you persecute me? Because he was persecuting the ones that were genuinely saved. We're glad, Lord, that thou hast opened the heart of this Saul, and he had asked and called him Lord. He accepted him as his Lord. Why? What? Who art thou? What wilt thou have me to do? And we thank thee, Lord, that he was willing to serve thee. Help us who are generally saved to ask the same question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Help us to do what thou dost want us to do, as thou hast told us in thy words. Make us faithful, as Paul was faithful in. Even though they went to kill him, we're glad for these disciples that saved him by letting him down in the wall instead of through the gate in a basket. Help us, Lord, as we bring back on the Lord's Day. May it be a blessed time for us here as we preach thy word and sing the songs of faith. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.